I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. For the November general election, Vermont will be using a new vote-by-mail system. Here's how it's going to work. Every active registered voter will be sent a ballot by the end of the month. They can fill it out and mail it back to their town clerk. If they choose this option, they're being urged not to wait until the last minute to mail it in. They can drop it off anytime before Election Day at their town clerk's office, or they can bring it with them to the polls on Election Day itself. Today on the program, we're going to take a close look at how this system works and provide our listeners with the information they need to know to ensure that their vote counts. And to help us learn more about this new vote-by-mail system, we've invited Secretary of State Jim Condos to be with us. Secretary Condos, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
Secretary Condos, during this general election, I think Vermont will be one of nine states that will mail out ballots to, quote, all active registered voters. Although this is going to be the first time that Vermont has used this system, a number of other states have been using it for many years. First of all, could you tell us what is an active registered voter?
Sure. So our voter checklist, which is now approaching about 500,000 people, is made up of actually two groups of people. One is what we call the active registered voters, and the other are what we call challenged registered voters. The challenged registered voters are people who were active at some point when they registered. And there are many factors that could be involved. Maybe someone thinks that they have moved or they've not heard from them or they haven't voted. There are many reasons why. And the Board of Civil Authority, which is the ultimate authority at the local level for the voter checklist, has made the decision to challenge that voter. And they end up being a challenged voter on the system if they did not respond to the challenge letter which they were sent. And they are still listed on the system. They can still be come off the challenge list if they just verify and affirm that they are an active registered voter. They still live at that address, and they do want to remain on the voter checklist.
So if a person has passed away in the past year or so, might they still be considered an active registered voter?
Yes. And I just want to make that point very clear. There is not a checklist in the country on any county, state, or local level that does not have dead people on the checklist. The problem is not that dead people are on the checklist. The problem would be if those dead people were actually casting votes. It's not illegal to be a registered voter in more than one state. Again, it's only a problem if you were to vote in the same election from two different states. Excuse me. So, you know, and part of the problem with dead people being on the voter register, voter registration list, is that dead people really don't call us up and tell us to take them off. It's, you know, people have can die here from here in Vermont. You could be, you know, taking a vacation and be somewhere else. You could go to Dartmouth-Hitchcock over in New Hampshire, or if you're in the southern part of the state, go to Boston or New York. And the death certificates take a while to actually catch up. But the clerks do work very hard to maintain those checklists, and we obviously are concerned. But there are occasions where people will vote early and then pass away, and those votes still count.
So let's say that a person has moved to another town in the last year or two. Is it possible that they would still be listed as an active voter in the first community?
Let's put it this way. If you're talking about within the borders of Vermont, if someone were to, say, live in Middlesex and move to Montpelier, and they go to Montpelier and register to vote there, when John Odom puts that in the system will automatically say, we have someone by this name and these identifying factors that is registered in Middlesex, and then John can notify that person, that town clerk, to let them know that this person is now registered in Montpelier and that they can be removed from the Middlesex system. So the problem is more pronounced when it goes out of state. We don't have a national database.
So we got a question from one of our listeners, Secretary Kondos. Let's say it's a situation where somebody has passed away and they still receive a ballot, or somebody has moved and the household still receives a ballot. What are people supposed to do in that household if a ballot comes for somebody that is no longer there or perhaps no longer alive?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is contact the town clerk and let them know. That would be the first thing I would do. You could either drop the clerk would tell you what he or she would like you to do with that ballot. They may tell you to just destroy it. They'll remove that person, or they may ask that you send the whole package back to them. No system in place anywhere in the country where you can actually do this manually. However, I think, you know, we have gotten so much better because of technology that we're in a position where we can react quickly.
And let's talk about the ballots that are coming to individuals, all the active registered voters across the state. They're going to be receiving a general election ballot sometime starting next week, and probably will get it before the end of the month. What do they need to know? So they're going to open this and there's going to be a ballot inside, and it will probably look like the ballot that they've seen in previous elections. So they fill it out. Do they have to sign something? What's important for listeners to know?
So let's walk through that process. So there's going to be a package, an envelope package that will be mailed to each active registered voter. When those are that will start on Monday next week, and then will continue on for about a week and a half as they go out in waves. So what will happen is you will get your package. It's going to be sent to the voter itself. It's going to be identified on the address as the voter. It will have your town clerk's return address in the upper left corner. And when you open that, you're going to find that you have a ballot, which, by the way, the ballot for absentee, the ballot for in-person, the ballot for universal vote by mail, the ballots are all the same. They're printed on the same paper, and they're all the same. They don't look any different. So you will get your ballot, which will look like any ballot we've had in the past. You have the ability to vote your ballot from your kitchen table. You then would put that ballot into the mail, into the envelope, the return envelope, which is there's two envelopes in the package. One is the certificate envelope. The ballot must go into the certificate envelope. You seal that, then you fill out your name and the date, and you sign that, and that is signed under the penalties of perjury. And then you would put that envelope inside the return of envelope, which has a return address for your town clerk and is clearly marked to be mailed back and is prepaid postage, so there's no postage needed.
So everyone should understand that they're going to fill out their ballot, put that ballot in an envelope. They are going to sign and date that envelope, and they're going to put that first envelope in a second envelope that will then be mailed to their local town clerk. Do I have that right?
Exactly.
So we got a question, Secretary Condos, wondering, are the signatures on the ballots matched to a signature on record? We had a listener say, I'm trying to remember whether or not I used my full middle name when I signed up to vote. How do we match signatures?
We do not. Vermont is not a signature matching state, so we do not. And actually, there are matching signatures is not necessarily foolproof either. People's signatures do change over time. People's signatures also change depending on, they may develop arthritis in their hands. That could cause them to change their signature somewhat. As they get more elderly, their signature changes as well. I can tell you that my signature is different than it was 20 years ago.
We had another question, Secretary Condos. What happens if I get the ballot and somehow I rip it or, I don't know, maybe not completely destroy it, but it's not in good shape? Do I send that back in anyway?
I would contact your town clerk and make arrangements with the town clerk to swap the envelopes out or swap your swap the ballot out. I think then you would be in good shape, but you could also just send that back. But frankly, I think it's important to just contact the town clerk and let them know, and they will instruct you as to what to do.
Another question.
I do want to say we have what we call the My Voter page on our website. Every registered voter in the state of Vermont has a unique page assigned to them that lists their identification information, such as where their address is, what district they vote in, what their poll location is, who their town clerk is, how to contact the town clerk. You can even get Google instructions on how to get to the poll location, and you'll also be able to get a copy of the sample ballot, and you will also be able to track your ballot. So there's a place that'll say, okay, the order went out such and such a date, and then when the clerk receives it back, it'll say it's been received and what is the status at that point.
I was going to ask you that because we've gotten a couple of questions from voters who want to know if they mail their ballot back to their town clerk, is there any way they know that it's been received? And sort of along with that, we had President Trump suggesting that voters mail in their ballots and then go to their local election polls on election day and see if they could vote or if they would be barred from voting a second time because their ballot had already been received. So there is a way to track your ballots?
There is a way to track your ballot. That will be on the My Voter page. You can actually see when the clerk received your ballot and what is the status of that ballot. It's unfortunate that the president has been making a lot of these comments lately. For instance, what he's been encouraging people to do about voting twice, frankly, is against federal U.S. code, and it would be a felony. And even here in Vermont, you are not allowed to vote more than once. That's the law, and it is problematic that the president insists that this is the way to do it. You also, as we just described, you can check, or you can call your town clerk as well, but there's an easy way to check online.
Let's start off with Matthew in Williston. Hey, Matthew, welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm just trying to figure out why we went this way when we already have absentee voting and why we didn't let people opt in. I feel comfortable going to the polls. I really don't want any more mail, and I think it's wasteful, with the way our tax situation is in Vermont, cost of living, every little bit makes a difference. And I wish you guys would have just let us, if people wanted to, great, make it easier to have the ballot mailed to you, but just don't send it to everybody.
Okay, Matthew, thanks very much for your phone call. Secretary Condos, The system that Matthew is talking about was used for the primary back in August. Your office encouraged voters to seek an absentee ballot, an early ballot, if they wanted to. It seemed like participation increased pretty dramatically. Why was that system not used for the general election?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that we recognize the two unwavering goals that we had as we were planning for the 2020 election cycle, which basically we started back in February. And that was, one, to preserve the voting rights of every Vermont voter, and two, to protect the health and safety of not only our voters, but also our town clerks and election workers. What you saw in the primary election was an example of how well we can run those elections, and frankly, we had 98% of the towns reporting in by midnight that night. So we were very pleased with how our elections process worked. However, our goal has always been to drive down the number of in-person voting on election day. Because of the pandemic. The pandemic is really the monkey wrench that's been thrown into this, and because of that, we've been trying to figure out ways to drive down those in-person contacts that could occur. We saw in Wisconsin back in, I think it was April, they typically have less than 100,000 of absentee voters. They had over a million, and they still had long lines at their polling places, and everybody was trying to social distance, but not necessarily. And as a result, they had at least 50 or 60 people that contracted the virus. And things like that and other stories that we've seen around the country that drove us to try to decide, okay, what is the best way for us to do this? The second piece of this is that the town clerks across the state would not be resourced properly to be able to deal with such an influx. What we have for the primary is about 50%, 40 or 50% of what the general election will be as far as turnout. And even though the primary caused a severe stress on the resources that the town clerks had, so it was really a matter of, one, protecting our citizens, including our town clerks and our poll workers and our voters, but two, also protecting the town clerks from the standpoint of the resources that they have.
Let's turn to Gail, who's calling from Shelburne. Hi, Gail. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. And hello, Secretary Kondos. I have a question. I plan to vote in person. Do I use the ballot you've mailed me, or do I vote at the ballot booth?
So you can use the ballot that you're mailed. You can bring. So let me just clarify. There are many options for bringing your ballot back. You can slip it into the mail. It's postage paid, pre-addressed. You can bring that to your town clerk in person, drop it off at a secure drop box if your town clerk has one, or deliver it by hand, or you can bring your ballot directly to the in-person polling. And if you forget it on an election day or you lost it, you can also go to the poll and request a new ballot, and there will be an affidavit. It's just a simple half-page sheet of paper that just says, I have not voted previously in this election, and you sign that, and they'll provide you with a new ballot. So there are several ways. No Vermonter will be denied the option or the opportunity to cast a ballot.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today, our guest, Secretary of State Jim Kondos. We're looking at Vermont's vote-by-mail system to be used in the November general election. Ballots will be going out next week and will probably go out through the end of the month. If you've got a question about how this whole thing works to make sure that your vote counts, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Secretary Kondos, we did get an email from someone who wants to know, hey, I filled out my ballot. I forgot to sign the envelope that I put the ballot in, and I mailed it back to my town clerk, and I actually am not aware that I forgot to sign it. Is my ballot invalid?
Yes, it is, unless you contact your town clerk, and they have the authority to help you cure that if they can catch it before they open it and process it. So it's not something that we prefer to do, but that's possible, and it depends on your town clerk. But I think that this is always an issue. It's usually a minor issue, but in the primary we had a significant number of defective ballots, but that was more from the standpoint of there were three ballots and you had to vote only one and send back two, and they had to be in separate envelopes. And that did create some confusion. But for the general election, we believe that it's going to be much simpler and much easier for everybody.
We also want our listeners to know that we've got a VPR voter guide at vpr.org, where you can see information about registering to vote, review some important dates to keep in mind when voting by mail, and ways you can ensure that your mail-in ballot is received and counted on time for the November 3rd election. That's VPR's voter guide that will be available at vpr.org. Well, right now, we're going to get a local perspective on this election, and joining us right now is Montpelier City Clerk John Odom. John, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So, John, what are you expecting in the course of the next 7 weeks? Are you thinking that, based on the primary experience in August, that a lot of folks in Montpelier are going to be mailing in their ballots?
Well, I think yeah, it's going to be at least as many as last time. We're also obviously going to have a lot more turnout. It's a general election. They're always the most turnout, and this one is one that is obviously energizing a lot of people. So there's going to be a lot more mail coming in. I think the big question right now in terms of my workflow is what to expect on Election Day, whether there'll be as many folks coming in as did in the primary or fewer. That's the big question mark. But we are prepared to process quite a bit more mail this time around.
What kind of challenges do you see for this election?
Well, just variations or on the challenges we had in August. You know, for example, I use a lot of volunteers in my Board of Civil Authority to help do the work on Election Day. Now that's an ask I have to make of folks from the weeks leading up so we can process that. So I actually overall depend on quite a bit more help from volunteers, from my BCA, than I do. On the other hand, you know, the big difference with August is we're not sending out all those ballots. So our workflow, our work amount in the office is going to be more back-ended rather than front-ended. But it's going to be different. You know, this is it's all a learning experience for all of us clerks, and August certainly was, and this one will be different than August.
Certainly, John, a lot of voters are being encouraged to mail their ballots back early to make sure that they get counted. Are you able to tabulate any of these ballots before Election Day itself? If I remember correctly, you had a couple of weeks before the primary that you could actually start processing these, so you didn't have just these thousands of ballots to process on election night itself?
Yes, thanks. Thank heaven. And we are all very grateful to Secretary Kondos for making that possible. I'm not sure how clerks would be able to handle it without that ability. So, yes, we can.
John, you've also got a lot of experience in election voter security and fraud. Some people think that this system of mailing a ballot out to every voter could lead to some voter fraud. What are your thoughts about that? How hard would it be to conduct fraud here?
Well, I don't think it would be significantly different. I mean, we still check in, you know, one vote for one person, and if they switch towns, you know, we spot that, and we can't put more than one ballot in. All of that is still in place. I think, you know, the concerns people might have over, you know, as I've heard them enumerated, over possible fraud or opportunities to fraud are really ones that didn't exist before. So I'm not particularly concerned about that. And I mean, also, it would be a different conversation if we were going out on a limb and doing this, you know, for the first time. But, you know, we've got clerks, county clerks, election administrators, you know, in the country who have been doing this already for, you know, 25 years. That's a generation. When I've called some of my clerk friends out in Oregon to try to get some sense of the transition, you know, the institutional memory is barely there to remember how it went. It's just the way things are done. So, you know, we've got the results. We've got the numbers. Numbers don't lie. We've got a sense of exactly what the fraud issues are with this system, and they are negligible to non-existent.
John, we had an email from one of our listeners who wanted to know, how far ahead of Election Day can you actually start running these ballots through your tabulator? And will you have any idea a week, 2 weeks out, who's leading in any of these elections?
No, we can start running them 30 days out. And no, we have no idea. That we don't get that information until all the ballots have been run through. And then the tabulators give us a result broken out by candidate. So no, we have no idea. We just run them in there, and the only thing we get is that little counter going, you know, click, click, click when it adds a ballot. But we have no idea what's on the ballot.
And finally, John, we've heard stories that some communities have a shortage of poll workers to actually come and work on Election Day itself. What's the situation in Montpelier?
Well, in Montpelier, we've always had a very strong base, many people who are willing to step up and volunteer. So it hasn't really been a problem for me. Sometimes, you know, a week or two out, I start sweating it a little, but it always works out in the end. We also have a pretty active Board of Civil Authority, so we get our Justices of the Peace to come in. So yeah, it hasn't really been a problem for us. Like I say, every now and then I get to where I sweat some, but, you know, we folks come through.
John Odom is the city clerk in Montpelier. John, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's talk to Carolyn in Shelburne. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi. I have a question for Secretary Kondos. I just dropped off my daughter at college in Denver, Colorado. She is registered to vote here in Vermont and has voted before. When I receive the ballot that will be automatically mailed to her, can I just forward it to her in Colorado to fill out and send back? Or because she is living out of state, does she have to send in an official request for an absentee ballot?
Well, first of all, for college students, they can register to vote where they choose. So whether they're in your case, she could register to vote in Denver if she wants to, or she can stay registered to vote in Vermont. She cannot vote in both places. She can only vote in one. So I guess the simple answer would be you can forward that envelope back out to her. I would put it in another envelope and send it and certify it and then send it to her, though.
And Secretary Kondos, we also got a very similar but slightly different question from Melissa in Middletown Springs, who says, we have two daughters who live and work overseas. They vote absentee and their address is still ours here in Vermont. Their ballots will be mailed here. What should we do with them? How should we get these ballots to them in time?
Well, and I guess the question I would first ask is, it sounds like they haven't requested that the ballots be mailed to an overseas address. We have generally during a general election, we will have anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 overseas and military members who request a ballot. And we can email those ballots to them, but they must return it by mail unless they're in a country that has limited to or no postage or postal service. A legitimate postal service that's working. So I guess the question would be, We can do that. You can actually contact your town clerk and determine the best solution by working with your town clerk, or you could just forward it and forward it to them overseas. And you know, it would take longer, obviously, that way. But there are several ways, and I would suggest that you contact your town clerk.
Let's turn to Ann, who has a question from Burlington. Hi, Ann. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you for this program. The 7 Days wrote an article a while back, and a part of the article said that, I don't know if this is true or not, if you did not fill in the oval completely with your pen or black ink or what have you, it would be discarded. Is that true or not?
Are you talking about the ballot, your actual vote?
Yeah. The actual ballot, yeah.
So, well, no, you're supposed to fill in the oval completely, but also on election night after the polls have closed, when the boards of civil authority open up the boxes, if you want to call it, the ballot boxes, and pull the ballots out, they actually put them in stacks of 50, and they do go through each ballot to see if there's a mark that should be reviewed to make sure that that ballot was counted. And there's a specific way that it works on the tabulator. So it's not that the ballot will be discarded, not at all. It may be the vote if it's not clear, but usually Vermont is a voter intent state, so that means that we look carefully to see what was the voter's intent. There are times where people will fill out their ballot by circling the name of the person they want rather than filling in the oval. Sometimes they'll do a check mark next to the oval. So that, you know, the boards of civil authority, once the election's over and they start reviewing the ballots, they actually review each and every ballot to ensure that the votes have been counted.
I just wanted to clarify one thing, Secretary Kondos. You talked, and also the Montpelier City Clerk, John Odom, talked about being able to tabulate some of these ballots up to 30 days before the November 3rd election. Is that true in most other states, or in some states, are they going to have to tabulate all of their mail-in ballots after the polls close?
It depends on the states. Each state has its own set of election laws, and they're all different. So some states allow 30 days, some states allow 15 days before, some states do not allow it at all, that the polls have to close first. But I will tell you that if it's a hand count state, and those are the small hand count town, those are the small towns that only about 20% of the votes in the state are cast in a hand count town. Those towns, the ballots all go into, even the early ballots when they're processed, go into a secure ballot box that is not opened until election night and after the election is over. The towns that have tabulators are allowed to open and process those through the tabulator up to 30 days ahead. The Vermont law actually stated beforehand that it was one day before, but we extended it for this year and this year only at this point, because we recognized that there was going to be, that the clerks were going to have an inordinate amount of vote by mail. And it was important that they have the opportunity to cast those. Some states have postmark deadlines, so you have to have your ballot envelope has to be postmarked by the day of the election, and they can be received 3 days, 7 days, 14 days after the election, but they must have a postmark that is on election day. Vermont is not a postmark state. The all ballots must be received by our town clerks by 7 p.m. on election night.
Let's talk to Kevin in Barnet. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question is, what happens if I go to the voting place and they say, sorry, we already have a vote for you that came in through the mail? How do we ensure that that vote doesn't count if it's already been tabulated and my vote that I try to do on voting day is the one that's actually counted?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin. And first of all, it is extremely rare that that might happen. I believe that the town clerk would take your name. The town clerks maintain all those envelopes that are kept that the ballots came back in, so they will have the record of somebody that had voted it. And it's possible that they will say to you, fill out this provisional ballot, and we'll look into it more to see on that. But the fact of the matter is, you are not allowed to vote more than once, and it could be an administrative error where they checked off the wrong person. But they would look into it, and we've instructed all town clerks that if they this type of a situation arises, they are to contact us, and we'll determine whether it needs to go to the Attorney General's office for investigation.
Kevin, many thanks for your phone call. Secretary Kondos, you mentioned earlier in the program that despite the huge increase in voting on primary night, I think you said 98% of the towns had reported in by midnight. What are you expecting on November 3rd? Do you think we're going to know the results of this election either midnight or in the early hours of November 4th?
First of all, let me be clear. We were talking about unofficial results, there is no state in the country that actually has official results on election night. Much of the media will project winners and losers, our role is to make sure that the vote counts are accurate and have integrity, and that will be the function that we will work from. What I will say is that we expect nothing different than what we saw in the primary. We expect that our town clerks, who are some of the hardest working municipal employees that we have, and we expect them to meet their deadlines and get those counts in as quickly as possible. I will say that they have up to 48 hours after the election to review, verify, and certify their election results. And that's why we say it's unofficial on election night, because there are mistakes that can happen on election night, but the clerks have an opportunity to review and certify those results and then send them to our office. Our office then builds them into one large database for the election for the statewide races. It will be in Vermont. It's 7 days after the election. So the following Tuesday at 10 a.m. is when we certify the results. And the certification comes from a representative from each of the three major parties, Republican, Democrat, and Progressive, and myself. And we will get a report on the results, and then we sign off on those results. And for this general election, we will then send those results for the statewide races, specifically for the races for governor, lieutenant governor, and treasurer. Those go to the legislature for final certification.
Secretary Kondos, you're a former president of the National Secretary of State's Association. You have a pretty good knowledge about election laws across the country. Here's a scenario that I've heard played out, and it seems to be getting more and more attention, and I'd like you to tell me whether or not it's possible, and that's this. This would not happen in Vermont. Let's say you're a state that is going to count the ballots when the polls close at 7 o'clock. That's the time that you're going to be counting your absentee mail-in ballots. There's a concern that some states are going to report the results of the in-person ballots that were cast during the day on election day, and that'll give us one set of results. And then, you know, it's going to take hours, if not days, to tabulate the absentee ballots, and that might yet yield us another set of results. Is that scenario possible?
Yes. It is possible, and I would say in some states it may be probable, but frankly, the job of the state election officials, the job of the county officials in some states, and the job of the local election officials is to get the vote count correct. And that's every, whether it's Republican or Democrat, we all work for that purpose, to make sure that the vote count is accurate and is correct. It's very possible. We've had situation just this year in the primary here. We had a situation where the progressive governor's race, there was a candidate that was on the ballot who received X number of votes. And then there was someone whose name was written in by a number of people. And that person on election day, that election night, it did not show that there was enough votes to be cast, enough votes that had been cast for that person. But on election night, the town clerks do not generally report who got the write-in votes. They do have to report it in their update after in the 72 hours, 48 hours after the election. And at that point, once we realize that at that point the write-in candidate actually had enough votes to win the progressive gubernatorial race, there was a different person who won. So mm-hmm. That can happen. It can happen. I suspect that this year there may be some situations in some places where on election night there may be one person who's overwhelmingly winning. I don't suspect that there will be an overwhelming, if there's an overwhelming distribution of ballots, I don't suspect that will be changed as much as the winner. I think it's if those races are close that there may be a possibility of that occurring. And it depends, again, on how long, you know, whether a state is a postmark state, whether they accept ballots 3 days or 7 days after the election. So it really does depend on each individual state's laws and scenarios.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Peter in Johnson. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks very much. Secretary Condos, I know someone who has lived in the same town for multiple decades and is registered in that town and will be living there when the ballots are mailed out, but will be living in a different town by election day. Should they vote in the town they've lived in for many decades, or do they have to re-register in the new town?
That is really up to them when that situation arises. You're supposed to vote in the town that you're living in, but again, you know, when you vote early, it's almost the same as someone who votes early and then passes away. Their vote, once they've cast their ballot and submitted it to the clerk, it counts.
Peter, thanks very much for your phone call. We're almost out of time, Secretary Condos, but am I right in saying that the election system that we're going to be using this year for the general election, it's kind of a one-time thing and not necessarily going to be used 2 years from now?
Well, that's up to the legislature to decide. This was Act 92 and Act 135 that were passed earlier this year was to provide the Secretary of State with the flexibility and nimble ability to move quickly depending on the pandemic situation. We had no idea back in February and March what the situation would be in November, and we wanted to have that authority to allow us to make changes to election law on a temporary basis. I do have to notify the governor of any changes that we are making. But it was only for calendar year 2020, and I suspect that the legislature will take up this issue come January and make a decision as to whether they move forward with vote by mail on a permanent basis or not. That will be their decision. My job is to implement.
almost out of time, but we talked to John Odom, the Montpelier City Clerk, about poll workers. Are you hearing from some communities that there might be a shortage of poll workers this November?
Well, originally we were concerned back in April, May timeframe. As the summer went on and we approached the August primary, we were hearing that it didn't materialize. And as you know, Bob, we did join forces with the Vermont Bar Association. We put out a joint press release. They put out a statement to their members to encourage members of the Vermont Bar Association to encourage law students and legal staff to contact their town clerks and offer up that they could help with Election Day as a poll worker.
Well, that's a look at Vermont's new voter election system, the vote-by-mail system that will be used this year for the general election. All active registered voters should expect to receive a ballot in the mail sometime next week or a few days after that, maybe 10 days after that. Many thanks to our guest today, Secretary of State Jim Kondos. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to our listeners and explaining how this is all going to work.
Thank you very much, Bob.